Hey everybody, and welcome back. It's been a long time since I've made one of these videos. Long time since I made a podcast. Maybe a month, man. It's been almost a month since we've had a UFC fight. I mean, no excuse. There's been a ton of news circulating around the MMA world, right? Like, stuff going on with Francis Ngannou. He wants different stipulations put on his contract so that he has options to box. Wants to make more money, and he's the heavyweight champion of the world, dude. Volkanovski versus the Korean Zombie gets booked, right? Because Volkanovski versus Holloway was originally booked. Holloway pulls out. Korean Zombie steps in. Some drama about, I thought Henry Cejudo really might get the shot when that happened. Like, the Korean Zombie, in my opinion, is probably a better matchup. Like, you got to remember, Cejudo won a world title at 125, 20 pounds lighter than 145, and he hasn't been active, and he's been comparing it to GSP and everything, but I personally think it's a little bit different. Like, the circumstances are a little different. I really like the Zombie fight. I think it's a great fight. I think it's a good challenge for Volkanovski to see if he can handle somebody like the Zombie, man. I mean, everybody's different, right? And based on what Brian Ortega did to the Zombie, you would think that Volkanovski wins that fight, but the Zombie is a bad motherfucker, dude. So that's a great fight at 145. Yeah, man, a lot of shit going on. But we're going to stick to the main card, and I know I'm late getting this one out too, guys. We're going to stick to the main card for today's fights, between which are headlined by Giga Chikache and Calvin Kattar. So yeah, without further ado, let's get into breaking these things down. Before we do this though, one thing I did want to talk about were the fight results from LFA last night. There's a guy on there named Boynazarov, and he has a win over Giga Chikache in Glory back in 2015, and he scored a nasty knee knockout. Like, he was just had his opponent pinned up against the cage and hit him with a beautiful knee that kind of turn the lights off, man. So LFA is one of probably the best feeder promotions to the UFC, and to see a guy like this going in there, you got to think that he's probably going to be working his way toward the UFC soon. I mean, he looked brilliant. Took him 21 seconds to get his opponent out of there. So if you guys haven't seen that yet, please be sure to check it out. Great fight. Anyway, let's jump right into breaking this main card down. So six fights on the main card. There's been some shuffling around with a lot of the stuff, right? Like, you had some fights fall through. I think Bill Algeo versus Joanderson Brito, Slava Borshev versus Dakota Bush has been bumped up to the main card. I think Dakota Bush was supposed to fight someone else initially. There's been all kinds of shuffling around because of people falling out, right? So our main card lineup for today, and yeah, the card's on ESPN Plus. It's on ESPN. Starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're in the fucking mountains like I am, Colorado, it starts at 5. But the lineup is going to be Bill Algeo versus Joanderson Brito, Slava Borshev versus Dakota Bush, Caitlin Chookagian versus Jennifer Maya, Rogerio Bontorin versus Brandon Royval, Jake Collier versus Chay Sherman, and Calvin Kattar versus Giga Chikache. So let's hop right into the featherweight bout between Bill Algeo and Joanderson Brito first. Bill Algeo is one of those guys, man, who, in my opinion, is very good. Like, I think you got to remember, this is a guy who came in and debuted against Ricardo Lamas, right? And had a pretty tough fight, like, gave it to Lamas, but the wrestling was just a little bit too much for Algeo to handle. I think that his striking is very good, but him and Brandon Royval, and we're going to talk about this later when we mention the Royval fight, they have two things that really bother me. And I mean, you kind of see it with Sandhagen. You kind of see it with guys who favor spinning techniques, and they have a tendency to give their back up, right? And I never think exposing your back in a fight is a good idea, but it happens to Algeo on several different occasions, right? Like, it happened to him in his fight against Ramos a little bit, right? Ramos out wrestled him. He just lets people get around behind him, and I think that in fighting, it's a very hard, you can work your way back to your feet, but it's a compromising position, right? He's 1-2 in the UFC so far. Lost his Dana White Contender Series fight back in 2019 against Brendan Loughnan. And, man, I just think that this matchup against Joanderson Brito, you got to remember, for Joanderson Brito, this is going to be his UFC debut. And a lot of the stuff we've seen out of him so far, he throws big, heavy punches, right? Everything that he does is wild. And I think he has a very bad tendency to get out of position with things when he throws his punches, right? So I think for Bill Algeo, not only having three fights in the UFC already, like, granted, he's 1-2, but you got to remember, one of those was against Ricardo Lamas. The other one was against Ricardo Ramos, who was very good, right? And struggled with the wrestling there. I think Joe Anderson Brito is going to be a little bit too green, right? I think he's going to come into this fight. I think the nerves are going to get to him a little bit. I think Aljo is going to stay composed. And I just feel like Joe Anderson Brito is going to burn himself out with these big explosive movements. And regardless of the fact, right? Like I said, I don't like the tendency that he has to give his back. Regardless of that tendency, Bill is also very competent in almost every area of mixed martial arts, right? Like you can tell that he's a very well-rounded fighter. And he's able to keep himself safe and work himself out of precarious positions when he puts himself in them. So I think even if Joe Anderson Brito comes out and blitzes him and kind of has an early good first round, I just think the pace and the poise and the composure of Bill Aljo shines through in this one. Bill Aljo is an underdog. I think he's a good underdog bet. I think that, again, for me, Joe Anderson Brito, very talented, right? Throws, like I said, like very explosive. But I just think that there's something to having A, UFC fights under your belt. And even in those fights, like Bill's ability, like I said, to stay composed, I think is going to be the difference maker, especially as you get into rounds 2 and 3. I really like Aljo in this fight. I really think that he's going to go out and just kind of pick Joe Anderson Brito apart, tire him out, and beat him up over the course of the fight. Like I said, I think there are going to be moments where Joe Anderson Brito has success, where he's able to take Bill Aljo down maybe, right, with some big explosive takedown shot, like maybe get to his back. But I just like Aljo's ability to stay calm, survive, and when he gets back to an advantageous position or gets back to the feet, I think he'll be able to put it on Brito in a way that's very calculated. And pace, guys, pace is so important. I think Aljo will know how to control the pace over 3 rounds, and in the end, that leads to him winning. 15 minutes is a long time to fight, guys, especially if you're a guy like Joe Anderson Brito who's used to knocking guys out early. So for that reason, my money's on Aljo. I think he's a good bet as the underdog, and I really do think he wins this fight. I just think, like I said, veteran prowess, man, it's important. All right, the next fight is one that got bumped up to the main card after some others fell off, and this is a fight between Slava Borchev and Dakota Bush. Dakota Bush had a tough go because his UFC debut was against Austin Hubbard, right? And that was his first fight in the UFC, and this fight against Slava Borchev is certainly not an easy one, but it's a better ask than getting a guy like Austin Hubbard, who has been in the UFC and has a very solid wrestling base, pretty good boxer, right? So, tough first fight for Dakota Bush in the UFC. But if you look back through his career, he's got a pretty solid ground game, man. He pushes guys up against the cage, is able to land his takedowns, has a bunch of rear naked choke victories on his record, I think like 4 or 5 of them possibly. And you know, pretty competent on the feet as well. I mean, he has a head kick knockout mixed in there. But again, from what I've seen from Dakota Bush, a lot of the things that make him successful come when he's able to push things up against the cage and kind of make things gritty in some way, right? Get takedowns, or even the head kick knockout was up against the cage. It stemmed from him being able to close off that space between him and his opponent and kind of fight in these close quarters, right? For Slava Borchev, man, bad motherfucker, first of all. I think he is a little bit, he's going to be more smooth on the feet for sure. And he's one of those guys who, you know, he's not afraid to get in a firefight. He'll exchange punches with you. He'll stand in the pocket. And I think that can be dangerous for him at times. But for the most part, I think that he's better than most of the guys that he's fought throughout his career on the feet, right? So he's able to get an edge on them in the striking department. So he's not really afraid to get in that because he feels confident in the strike. And he's one of those guys, he's like a momentum guy, right? Like, not in the same way that Max Holloway is. Max is like a steady, he almost trends upwards as the fight goes on the whole entire time, like round 1, round 2, round 3, round 4. Like, what I mean by momentum with Slava Borchev is he has momentum in moments. If he senses that he's hurting you, he really starts putting it on. He's got really fast hands, and if he connects, he has a really, like, if he connects clean on something, he has a tendency to follow it up quick and hard, right? So not the same kind of like momentum that Max gets, whereas Max starts putting the volume on you, it continues upward. This is a guy who like kind of swarms you with a bunch of vicious shots once he lands something clean, even if it doesn't hurt you, right? Like he's hunting for that finish all the time. And like I said, that has a tendency a little bit to pull him into firefights once in a while, which makes me a little bit nervous. But this is a tough fight to pick. Generally, when I have fights like this, like where there's a striker in Slava Borchev versus a guy in Dakota Bush who can, I like Dakota Bush, just because if you look at Slava Borshev's last fight as well in the Dana White Contender Series, even after he hurt his opponent, he was still taken down and held up against the cage for a moment of time. I mean, he got back up, knocked the guy out, won, got his contract. But I think that Dakota Bush might pose a new problem for him. And I think that Dakota Bush is going to be able to push this fight up against the cage, get his takedowns, and make it uncomfortable for Slava. You got to take him out of his element. And he's a strong kickboxer, right? So, for that reason, I'm taking Dakota Bush in this fight. I think it's a close fight. I think that if Slava is able to maintain his range, use good footwork around the cage, and keep his back off the octagon cage, then I think he'll be fine. But I think overall, I think Dakota Bush is competent enough. He's seen a pretty good level UFC fighter already, right? In his UFC debut, he's felt that. And I think that he has a wrestling advantage in this one. And I always like wrestlers they're going against a striker. It's just like the ability to take the fight to the ground and put it where you want it, right? It's such a big deal. I think Slava Borshev, like I said, is dangerous. I won't be surprised if he wins, and I really don't know what to make of this fight. But based on what I've seen, I like Dakota Bush. I think he gets it against the cage, takes him down, maybe gets like a decision victory, and just kind of makes life miserable for Slava Borshev over the course of three rounds. But again, Slava's a bad motherfucker, dude. And he's good at also... Even if you are a good wrestler, he's good at drawing his opponents into ego battles with him a little bit, right? Where they want to trade with him, and it's not always smart because he's usually a little bit crisper than you. So, interesting fight, but I got Dakota Bush. Caitlin Chookagian versus Jennifer Maia. This is a rematch. Caitlin Chookagian defeated Jennifer Maia a few years ago. And, you know, this is one of those ones where I kind of see it going the same way. I think that if you look at Jennifer Maia's fight against Valentina Shevchenko, she had moments where she got Valentina to the ground and was able to control her there. But when she pushes things up against the cage, she doesn't move her feet, right? She does a good job of trying to get head positioning and fighting with her arms to get underhooks, blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't move her feet and create angles. She just kind of stays stagnant when she's up against the cage. And I think that gives her problems. And if you look at someone like Caitlin Chookagian, and Jennifer Maia struggled with this in the first fight too, it's hard to close that distance on her at all because her movement and her footwork is really solid. She's also constantly, she has long limbs, and she's constantly reaching out and just touching you with something, right? Uses her kicks very effectively, which I think will be important. And, you know, for Maia, it might be beneficial as opposed to pushing this fight up against the cage, trying to catch a kick and take the fight to the ground from there, right? And force these kind of chaotic scrambling positions after you catch the kick, or catch the kick, follow up with the right hand to get the takedown, something like that, right? I don't think that pushing the fight up against the cage works for two reasons for Maia. One, Maia doesn't move her feet and create angles. She just stays still. And two, it is hard to take tall people down. And especially if you're not creating angles, it compounds how difficult it is, right? I think Caitlin Chookagian is going to be able to create her, just like in their first fight, she's going to be able to get her frames, push off, get back to open space. And when they're in open space, I think Caitlin Chookagian just continues to dot her up, right? I mean, Jennifer Maia is very good. She has very solid jiu-jitsu, but I don't have a lot of confidence in her ability to get this fight to the ground, and I think that's her best chance to win. Not that she can't throw boxing combinations and stuff like that, right? Like, you've seen her do it and you've seen her land. But is it going to be enough? I feel like she's going to be able to land a few good shots throughout the fight. And while she's doing that, the whole time, Caitlin will just be picking her apart and slowing her down. So I think Caitlin Chookagian wins the rematch. I think Caitlin Chookagian is very good. I think Jennifer Maia had a better showing against Valentina Shevchenko than Caitlin Chookagian did. But styles make fights, man. I just think that this is a tough fight for Jennifer Maia to come back and try to win again. All right, Rogério Bontorin versus Brandon Royval. This is a fight that I'm really excited for. So Bontorin is a guy who fights a little bit flat-footed, right? You got a very heavy boxing style and a very heavy jiu-jitsu style. Black belt in BJJ. You saw him get Kai Kara France to the ground immediately after he got in on that double leg, got to his back. So very solid jiu-jitsu. But Kai Kara France, who's primarily a striker, was able to survive from those positions, right? Get up, and he knocked him out. Kai Kara France with that right hand, man. I mean, he'll hit guys three times in a row with the same fucking hand, right? Like, not even throw his other one. Just, I think he hit Bontorin with an overhand uppercut and then another overhand and knocked him the fuck out. Anyway, my point is, we talked about this earlier with Brandon Royval, right? Or Bill Algeo. Brandon Royval also has a tendency to expose his back. He lets opponents get to his back, but he does a very good job of not letting them get two hooks in. But you saw what happened when he fought Pantoja, right? Pantoja got two hooks in and boom, fight's over. Got the rear naked choke in the second round. First round did a good job of keeping his hips, of escaping his hips, only letting one hook in or not giving Pantoja the elements of control that he needed, right? But Royval is very crafty on the ground. He attacks from the bottom. He's rangy. This is a fucking tough fight to pick. I think Brandon Royval is a pretty heavy favorite in this one, and I do think he wins the fight just because I think that his the variety that he'll be able to offer on the feet and his movement and everything, I think translate well into this fight. And, you know, for Bontorin, I think that he's a very stockily built guy, you know, like very stockily. Was that a fucking word? I don't know, but he's built like, he's short and like stout, right? Whereas Royval is kind of tall and lean and long and fights with that karate stance. Bontorin does have good boxing though. I think there are going to be moments where he's going to be able to land on Royval. But again, I think the big explosive movements that he's going to throw is going to slow him down throughout the fight. And then if it does go to the ground, I think he's going to have a very hard time controlling Royval there. He's constantly moving. He has a very good understanding of the positions. He attacks from the bottom. He attacks from the top. He hit Tim Elliott with that fucking arm triangle choke. He's very good and very competent in that area. Like I said, just the tendency to expose his back in general is not good. And you kind of saw like in the Pantoja fight that he paid for it, right? Eventually. But at first he was able to escape. I think if this goes to the ground, it tires Bontorin out. And I think that the constant just volume and the fluidity of Royval, you know, I mean, he does carry his hands down low a little bit and he does get clipped with some big shots. And Bontorin, you know, he seems to have a tendency to find that big shot. He throws a lot of big hooks and he, you know, when he starts, oh my God, I got to look it up, guys. Give me 1 second. He was fighting somebody and, you know, he kind of had a little bit of trouble with the range early on, but then as the fight wore on, you saw like in the third round, he really started to find it and start connecting with it. So, definitely can land. Matt Schnell was the fight. Very close fight, but I feel like, I think Snow won the second round in that one, and he was struggling, Bontorin was struggling a little bit to find the range and everything, but as the third wore on, when he got to the third, it seems like he really found out how to connect and hurt Snow a couple of times. The problem is going to be, I think Royval's movement is a little bit trickier than that, and I think this is also a fight where Bontorin is not going to want to hang out on the feet, so he's going to try to take Royval down, and I think it's just going to be a lot of energy to try to keep him there. I think this is just going to be a hard fight for Bontorin to keep up with Royval, so for that reason, I'm taking Royval on this one, man. Close fight. I wouldn't be surprised if Bontorin does pull it off. Like I said, it's kind of hard to predict how this one is going to go, but I like the movement. I like the defensive scrambling ability, and I like how he attacks from just about every position when he's on the ground, and that's someone has his back, right? Then he's just trying to escape. But he's got good escapes. He's competent, man. He's Brandon Royval. I think this has potential to be the fight of the night. Rogerio Bontorin. I mean, if Giga and Calvin Kattar aren't, this one right here is a great matchup. You got a heavy hitter, good wrestler, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt going up against a long, lanky, karate stance kind of fighting guy. And then, you know, very sick on the ground. But two different styles of Jiu-Jitsu and two very different styles of striking. A lot of the times you get people and they match up and they have like similar stuff. These are like two people who are very strong on the ground and very strong on the feet, but their styles and the way they go about it are completely different. So it makes this fight kind of hard to predict. If you're betting money, I think Bontorin is the underdog, and I kind of like Bontorin as the dog. Like, for betting money, it's not necessarily that I think he wins. When you guys are betting on fights, and in my opinion, don't fucking listen to me. I'm not a professional gambler, right? But and this is going to be the case when we talk about the main event. It's not necessarily that I think Bontorin is going to win, but I think the value is there, and I think that he could win, right? So it's about looking at the odds and saying, are his chances of winning better than what the odds are telling me? And I think for this one, I think this is a razor close fight. I think Bontorin style, sometimes you see like someone like Royval style edge it out, and sometimes you see someone like Bontorin style edge it out, right? It almost reminds me a little bit. I know there's drastic differences and stuff. It reminds me of Woodley and Wonderboy, right? A little bit. So I could see this fight kind of being close like that, except they're smaller. They're going to scramble around a lot more movement, blah, blah, blah. But long story short, I like Royval, but I'd put money on Bontorin based on the odds just because I think this is a really fucking close fight and a hard one to pick. All right. Jake Collier versus Chase Sherman in a heavyweight clash. Jake Collier, I hope I might be mispronouncing Collier. I hope it's not Collier. I'm going to call him Collier, right? That's what we're going with. I hope I don't have that wrong. Okay. He is a guy who started his UFC career at middleweight, right? Against Vitor Miranda, I believe. He lost that fight. And then slowly went up to light heavyweight and then eventually made his way up to heavyweight. And I think a lot of that might be due to like injuries and possibly some mental health issues that he has, right? So if you look back at him, I actually think if you look back through his fights, he kind of looked the best at 205. He still had some speed and power there, but he's put on some weight. He's fought at heavyweight. And guys, Jake Collier's entire career has, in the UFC at least, has been alternating wins and losses. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. He has 4 wins and 5 losses. And his last loss was against Carlos Felipe. So it might tell you that he's due here. And he's fighting Chase Sherman, who is a guy who lost, I think, 2 or 3 in a row and then went over to Island Fights, which is like a smaller professional promotion, right? Picked up 3 knockout wins in a row, I believe, there, and then came back and lost his most recent fight. I'm taking Jake Collier in this fight because my complaints about Chase Sherman, I don't see him correcting the stuff. I see his movement getting a little better, but my complaint about Chase Sherman has always been he uses decent footwork and decent head movement when he, like, is defensive. When he is offensive, guys, he watches his handiwork. Like, his head stays on the center line when he throws punches, and it stays there through an entire combination. Kicks, punt, everything. His head just stays right here. And it allows guys to fucking tee off on him. You kind of saw it against like Parker Porter, right? Like, I just can't get over the fact that he watches what he's doing too much. You have to have faith in what you're throwing. You have to move your head while you're being offensive, and you have to get out of the way of things. And he just does, in my opinion, a poor job of getting out of the way of things. And especially when you're fighting in the heavyweight division, that's a dangerous combination. Jake Collier, on the other hand, he has pretty good movement, pretty good timing, and he'll surprise you. I mean, you got to remember, this guy came from 185, so he's got a little bit of speed. He's got good boxing. He's got a good jab. He's got good kicks. I like Collier in this fight. And again, like I said, I just don't think Chase Sherman moves his fucking head enough. And I think it's an easy target, and I think it lets guys tee off on him. And I think it exhausts him over the course of the... He's also tough, right? Like, he has only... I mean, he's been knocked out a few times in his career. Like maybe 3 or 4, I think. But for the most part, he's able to endure the stuff, but it slows him down. And man, I just, like I said, you can't watch your handiwork. You can't sit there and watch it. And he has a bad tendency to do that. It's something I've complained about Chase Sherman before he got cut from the UFC. And when he came back to the UFC, fought Orlovsky and then Parker Porter, and it doesn't look like he fixed it, you know? So as long as that remains a problem for him, he's going to continue to get dotted up. The sad part about Chase Sherman is that he has solid striking. Like, when he throws his punches and his kicks and stuff, you go, oh, fuck, yeah, not bad, man. Like, he's got speed on his stuff. He's got power. He looks natural at heavyweight. He's a athletically built guy, played football back in high school and college, maybe. I don't know. But it doesn't change the fact that he doesn't move his fuck. If he could fix that one fundamental flaw, I really think he would be a lot better than his record indicates. Like, I think he would have won a lot more fights. But, man, you have to move your fucking head. And he doesn't move his head, man. And I think you'll see that tonight. I don't think he'll move his head tonight. I think it's one of those things that, like, either someone's not working it with them when they drill with them, or it's just ingrained so deeply that it's not, like, for whatever reason, he can't break the habit. Like, something's going on there, though. But I think if you took a break with Chase Sherman and said, we're focusing on nothing but fucking head movement, he would come out so much better. It is, in my opinion, his fatal flaw. So, I got Jake Collier in this one. I think he either knocks him out or picks up a unanimous decision victory over him. Also, Collier, for as big as he is, he can keep a pace a little bit. He got tired out against Felipe, but Felipe's cardio is pretty good, man. Able to put it on him a little bit. But again, when you're getting hit, it tires you out, and I think Chase Sherman's going to get hit. All right. Main event. Calvin Kattar, Giga Chikadze. Whew. This is a tough fight to pick because there are things that I think both guys are going to do well against the other, right? Like, for example, I think when you look at Giga Chikadze, you know, when he fought Edson Barboza, when he fought Morales, Omar Morales, he has a tendency to let himself get backed up a little bit, right? In the Brandon Davis fight, he was taken down once in a while. And people got to remember, Calvin Kattar is mainly known for his hands. But Calvin Kattar can wrestle a little bit. See him hit a nice double leg on Dan Ige. He just prefers to stand and bang. But he was a standout high school wrestler, right? So he has a background in it. Giga Chikache, on the other hand, most of his experience is in kickboxing. But I will say, in the Brandon Davis fight and such, when you saw him get taken down, he was okay from those positions. He was able to get back to his feet. We've seen him get back up. So it's not necessarily that I think the wrestling is going to come into play a lot, but a lot of the times, guys, when you have two people who are very evenly matched on the feet, as these two may be, maybe not, maybe one has a clear advantage over the other, but a lot of the times the guy with the better wrestling is able to implement those takedowns. And also, when Calvin Kattar gets a fight to the ground, his ground and pound is fucking vicious. He's got those long-ass arms, and he commits, man. And he feels confident on top. In a closed guard position, standing over top of his opponent in open guard, he has really creative ways to land those blows, and the length of his arms certainly help. But he throws ground and pound with ferocity. So if he's able to catch some of these kicks that Giga Chikache is throwing and get it to the ground, I think that's an element of this fight that maybe not a lot of people are thinking about. Now, on the flip side, we have seen Calvin Kattar struggle with the kicking game of Jeremy Stevens, who is not a brilliant kicker, good kicker. Giga Chikache is a brilliant kicker. And we have seen him struggle against Tanato Moicano, right, with the leg kicks and stuff. So I'm struggling a little bit. Also, another thing with Kattar is he can take a little bit to get going. Kind of saw that in the Zabit fight. And Max Holloway is a different goddamn animal, though, dude. But I think this is a tough fight to pick, man. Once again, we were talking about the odds earlier. My money's going on Kattar all day. He is a live fucking dog in this fight. And we haven't seen Giga Chikache in a 5-round main event. We haven't seen what he looks like if things start to fade. We haven't seen what he looks like against a really, really... Calvin... Guys, I know he got beat up by Max. Calvin Kattar's hands are fucking ridiculous. He's lightning fast. He hits with ferocity. And he's incredibly accurate. He's also always... He gets his legs chewed up with kicks and stuff a little bit, right? I think that is going to be a problem. I do think Giga Chikache is going to land kicks. But at the same time, think about UFC champions, right? Most of your UFC champions do not base their game around kicking and kicking alone. Even Adesanya, I think he throws his hands a little bit more. Giga Chikache also has a tendency when he does throw his hands, he plants his feet hard. And I think it's kind of predictable. And we've seen him get hit with stuff before. I think Calvin Kattar's jab, I want to preface this by saying, if you kick a lot, the reason that I favor boxing over kicking and the reason I'm going to take Calvin Kattar over Giga Chikache is because kicking takes a lot of energy. And I'm not sure how sustainable that is for 5 rounds. Kicking is amazing, right? It really is. But I think that when you start fighting really high level guys, if you have good kicks, you have to be able to hide them behind your punches a little bit. Like, I think that Kattar is going to be able to throw his hands around and use less energy than Chikache will, right? Like, kicking takes a lot of energy. And another downfall of kicking, you can't really throw combinations. Whereas every time you kick, that's kind of like a one movement and done thing. When you throw punches, you can retract your hands so much quickly and throw combinations, right? So I like the volume that you can put out if you're a boxer as opposed to having a heavy kicking game. And man, I think I'm taking Calvin Kattar in this fight. I really do. I think Calvin Kattar might struggle with the kicking game of Giga Chikache early, but I think that he'll be able to pressure Giga Chikache back against the cage. I think that he's going to be able to snap him in the face with his jab, and it's going to stun Giga Chikache a little bit, and that'll cause problems. I think the jab of Kattar is going to cause problems. And when a good boxer starts finding their jab, they also start finding their follow-ups. And again, Giga Chikache, a guy who sits down and kind of throws like, he sits down on his punches hard. Kattar can throw his punches from fucking anywhere. Backwards uppercut, right? Against Shane Burgos that knocked him out, right? Like, I just think that he can throw his hands from anywhere and it's going to give him an advantage, right? And kicks are a little bit easier to read and see them coming. I think Giga Chikache has a speed. This is a great fucking fight, guys. I'm excited for this one. But all in all, I think I'm going with Kattar. I like the fact that if you're a talented puncher, it doesn't wear you out as quickly. I like the fact that Calvin Kattar has been in several different main events. I like the fact that he's fought Max Holloway, Dan Ige, Zabit, Shane Burgos. I like the level of competition that he's faced. And I just think that I think he's going to struggle to defend the kicks of Giga Chikadze because they're so good. But again, I think that it's better to be a boxer and be able to throw volume, especially when your combinations are as crisp as Cater's, as opposed to relying on a kick-heavy game, because I think it's exhausting. And I think if you're not hiding your kicks behind some punches in a high-level fight like this one, it could give you some problems, right? And especially when Cater is going to have an advantage with the hands. So you're not going to be able to set your kicks up as effectively because your hands aren't landing as often, right? It's a close fight. I don't by any means think that Giga is like... I think Giga could very easily win this fight, but I got Cater. I think Cater pushes it. I like the fact that he can wrestle a little bit better, I think. I like the fact that he has good ground and pound. I think he'll be able to pressure. I like his jab. I like the fact that he has those long... You've seen guys with shorter arms snap the jab in Chikadze's face before. I like the level of competition that he's faced so far. And I like the fact that he's been in 5-round main events before. This is the first one for Giga. So, for all those reasons, I'm taking Calvin Cater, man. And he's a live dog. You can guarantee my money's going on Cater tonight. Again, even if you think Giga's going to win, I don't know how you look at these odds and go, oh, shit. Like, it's an implied probability. It's like, he's like a plus 190. They're saying, like, Giga Chikadze has, like, a 60 or 70% chance to win this fight or whatever the fuck it comes out to. I don't think so, man. Calvin Cater is a bad motherfucker. And I think that he has a really good shot tonight against Giga Chikadze. So, yeah, guys, those are the picks. Let's recap the card real quick. I like Bill Aljo over Joe Anderson Brito. Dakota Bush over Slava Borshev, but that's a tough fight. Chukagian over Maya. Roy Val over Bontarin, but I would probably put a little bit of money on Bontarin as the dog. Jake Collier over Che Sherman. And man, I got the underdog Calvin Cater beating Giga Chikadze tonight. So that's going to wrap this one up. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm going to try to do a better job this year of getting a prediction and then an aftermath video out for every single fight. So hopefully for every UFC card, I got two videos coming out. I'd like to get into a little bit more coverage with LFA, Bellator, all that stuff as we move into 2022. And yeah, you guys know if there are submissions on this card tonight that we'll be getting breakdowns out for them the next day. So yeah, enjoy some playoff football today. Enjoy the fights. A lot of good shit going on. Drink some beer, eat some bad food. Let's go. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you enjoyed, hit the subscribe button, leave a comment. Let me know you guys think's going to win the fights, and I will catch you all later. Bye-bye.